privilege. It's this easy. I'm in the presence of the King in prayer. Well, isn't that amazing? I think so often we just don't think about the goodness of God and how he makes himself available to us. Boy, I better get my focus on the message or I want to preach on something else. Acts chapter number 18, just a few quick announcements as you turn there. Acts 18, I did forget a few things. Don't forget, gentlemen, we're having coffee fellowship Tuesday morning in the fellowship hall. Now, for those of you who are visiting or those who have not been able to make it, it starts at 8:15, but it really just starts when whoever gets there first gets there. And I will not be there at 8:15. I will come a little bit later in the morning. So it's not a matter of you have to be there at a particular time. If you can get away for a little while, if you have to work on Tuesday morning, but not till later in the morning, if you come by for a few hours, an hour, help yourself. I'm going by and I'm going to tell on myself so no one has any ammunition to find out and pick on me later. I'm going to go get my hair cut in a beauty salon on Tuesday morning. Now, laugh. And here's why. Because my daughter cuts my hair. So I go by for two reasons. Mainly to see my daughter. I bring her a cup of coffee. She cuts my hair and she washes it and massages and dries my hair for me. And I get to spend about 30 quality minutes with my daughter, if not a little longer, with her busy schedule. So I'll be running a little later, but I will be here on Tuesday, Coffee Fellowship. The following Tuesday, we're having a community service type outreach. We're having a blood drive. They've asked us to use our parking lot of facilities, have a blood drive. I guess with the weather up north, some things that happened early in the year, our blood donations for America are way down. So they reached out and asked if we could host one, so we are. And that's also next Tuesday morning. The fellowship hall will be open for men's fellowship again. Some coffee. We'll provide a few other refreshments for those. The blood mobile will be parked out there. They'll go in and donate, do what they're going to do. But we want to have the fellowship hall open in case they need to use a restroom or want to maybe even just hang around and find out what we're doing there. It'll give us an opportunity to be an encouragement and a blessing to those folks, and that's on Tuesday the 28th. And then the ladies' Bible study discipleship this Thursday morning here at the church at 10 o'clock here in this back room in the fellowship hall, over in the fellowship hall, that's on Thursday. So you may feel like, I've been discipled. I'm fairly well grounded in the word. Well, wonderful. Let me challenge you, if you have time to come out anyway, it doesn't hurt to have a refresher course, and our goal is have several ladies comfortable having been discipled and willing to disciple someone else one-on-one down the road. And we'll also be doing this with men a little bit later. We need to have disciplers in the church, those that are qualified, willing, and want to serve and encourage and bless others and teaching them on their new walk, because we do have new believers in our congregation. We also have folks who have been saved for a while but maybe never discipled. So it's a time of fellowship, a time of encouragement, and a time of learning. And that's on Thursday morning, 10 o'clock, with our ladies. All right, Acts chapter number 18. Acts chapter number 18, and I will ask you once again, especially since we have several visitors, to be patient with me. I had a little change in my allergy medication, and I feel like the desert is in my mouth. So I will need a little water here and there, so bear with me. Acts chapter number 18, let's begin reading in verse number 1. Verse number 10 and 11 will be our key verse, especially verse number 10. But let's begin in verse 18, verse 1 of Acts. After these sayings, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth, and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born of Pontius, lately from Italy, with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he bode with them and wrought, for their occupation, they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And when they had oppressed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, "Your blood be upon you. Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go into the Gentiles." And he departed thence and entered to a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, "Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace. Why do you think the Lord told Paul, be not afraid? Simple answer, because he was. Verse 10. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. Father, bless the reading of thy word. Father, once again, please help me this morning. Give me clarity of thought, clarity of mind, and clarity of speech. Father, help me to put away the concerns and of the world and all the peripheral things going on right now, Lord, as we serve you here at Harvest. And Lord, help me to be totally in tune and totally yielded to you. Father, help me, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is very simple. God wants to encourage you. You ever need to be encouraged? You ever need a little bit of uplift, a little bit of encouragement in your life? I mean, we all eventually face stressful situations, difficult decisions in our life, and at times it may be too overwhelming. We need the kind of encouragement that only God can provide. Now, don't misunderstand me. My wife and my children, my grandchildren are a great encouragement, but there are sometimes it's only something I need from the Lord. I need His assurance, His guidance, His spoken word, His whisper in my ear to encourage me. Dear friends, have you ever been that way yourself? I mean, I have often. Michelle will tell you, my junior year of Bible college, I was ready to quit every Monday morning. I was exhausted. I was tired. And Michelle was my cheerleader. You can't give up. You can't give up. I mean, she even had the audacity to have a bottle of water and she would miss me in the face if I didn't get out, if I hit the snooze button. She says, you're graduating. I put too much time into you and with these kids and getting you through school. Get up, get up. She encouraged me and then the Lord helped me as I got up and moved my way and getting ready for church. We've all felt that way. In fact, many have said or thought in the heat of the moment, I give up. Christianity is just too hard to live. I don't need the hassle of this job, his team, this church. I just don't need it anymore. And maybe even the devil tempts you or whispers in your ear, I'm not really getting that much out of church. The daily grind and the political correct cancel culture world that we live in today is just too much. Why bother? There are days like that that we need his encouragement. I know these emotions. I know exactly what I'm referring to because I have gone through it. And many of you have. And many of my colleagues and friends and family members, we have talked about these things. It's real. And I am so glad that God wants to encourage me in days like this. I'm so glad that he is my biggest cheerleader. You see, as believers, we all need encouragement. And the best types of encouragement comes directly from the Lord. Again, I get a lot of encouragement. I am so blessed. I know I sound like a broken record, but man, we've got some great families here. We have some wonderful men here that encourage me, that I hear from, that encourage me. Sometimes a card, a text message, or just a simple, no, hey, preacher, I love you, appreciate you. We're behind you. Let's keep moving along. That's an encouragement. But still, the encouragement of the Spirit of God, the encouragement of the Word of God, the encouragement of God Himself is the greatest encouragement that we can ever have. And God wants to do that for us. Now, I don't want to discourage you. My introductory is kind of long, but I only have 3 points, but it may take me a little while to get there. But let's look at a couple examples in this. First of all, Moses. What a great leader Moses was. Even though God's power was demonstrated through him, he still needed encouragement. In the book of Numbers, chapter 11 and verse 14 and 15, Moses says to God, I am not able to bear all these people alone. I guarantee you he's not the only preacher and leader who's ever said that. I can't bear all these people alone. He goes on to say, because it is too heavy for me. And if thou deal thus with me, listen to this, kill me, I pray thee, out of hand, if I have found favor in thy sight, and let me not see my wretchedness. Dear friends, I read this, I think, wow. One of the greatest leaders throughout history, throughout the Word of God, he needed encouragement, and God was there to provide it. Now, Moses had to face some things, but the bottom line is God encouraged him and helped him and gave him insight to move forward. As we move through the Old Testament, what about Joshua? A great military leader. God chose him to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. But he too also needed encouragement. The Bible says in Joshua chapter 7 and verse number 7, would to God that we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. I mean, they're almost there and the Lord's still leading them, but would to God that we'd have just been content. He almost gave up, but God encouraged him. God helped him along. What about Elijah, a great prophet of the Old Testament? After changing the sinful idolatry of his day, calling fire down from heaven, winning a face-off with the idolatrous prophets of Baal, he requested that the Lord let him die in 1 Kings 19:4. He says, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life. Elijah needed encouragement, and God provided it. We go on through the Old Testament, the book of Job. What about Job himself? A man of patience, a man of faith. His life had a great beginning and a great ending, but he lost everything he wished he had not been born, and wished he had not been born in the middle. He became depressed, he became discouraged. In Job 3:3, he said, let the day perish wherein I was born. He needed to be encouraged. And God stepped on the scene, encouraged these men, and helped them to continue to go on as great leaders and of great men of faith. And then we have Jonah. Old Jonah, whined and whined at times. He ran from God, but when he got right, God used him to see a multitude saved in the city of Nineveh. Yet, he wanted God to kill him. Even after the greatest revival that had taken place, he had no joy about all the souls that had been saved in Nineveh. Now, he had reason, but that was another message. He needed to be encouraged. And God provided those things, and he encouraged the prophets. And now we move into the New Testament, where we'll spend a little more time. We see Paul here, the Apostle Paul. Here in Acts chapter 18, we find Paul on his second missionary journey. Having arrived from Athens to Corinth, experienced some great discouragement. He says back in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 3, he speaks of his time in Acts. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Let's look at a few things that discouraged Paul, but yet the Lord encouraged him. He was exhausted because he had walked over 50 miles. He was lonesome. You see, there was no Uber drivers. There was no cars, no airplanes, no trains, no buses. He uses his sandals to get to where he's going. He was tired. He was lonesome. He was pressed. The Bible says in verse 5, pressed in the spirit. In other words, spiritual stress that he was facing. He was ridiculed on his missionary journey. In Athens, they called him a babbler. Today, we might say bird brain. He was ridiculed. He had gone through it. He was frustrated. He was heading toward what was known as Sin City, the capital of immorality. He was going from a place of idolatry to a place of immorality. Could it actually be any worse? Could have been the thought he had on his mind. But yet, even though he was discouraged, he later writes to the people of Corinth, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 15, he says this, And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. Through the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. He's saying it was worth it all. I've been encouraged. I'm excited what the Lord is doing. I would do all over again. And no matter how much you love me or don't love me, I will still be spent for you and love you and serve you. God encouraged him. Imagine this. On this trip alone in his second missionary journey, he is beaten, he is jailed at Philippi, persecuted at Thessalonica and Berea, ridiculed in Athens, and now he has to face Corinth. Friends, I don't know about you, but if that was me, I would have more than just thought it. I would have said, hey, I walked over 50 miles in the name of Jesus for this type of treatment? Come on now. Are you not with me? Nobody wants to be treated bad, but yet he just kept going in Jesus' name. He just kept serving. Why? Because God encouraged him. I can only imagine how Paul must have felt. But Paul was a unique man of God. And even though it was unique, even though he was a mighty force in Christendom, he needed encouragement, and our Lord provided it. Look at verse number 11. And he continued. Not only did he continue, he stayed around a year and 6 months teaching the word of God among them before continuing his missionary journeys. He didn't give up. He continued. Why? Because God encouraged him there in verse 9 and verse 10. He says, "Be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set to hurt thee. For I have much people in this city." Dear friends, he was also saying, we can look at another passage of Scripture, "My grace is sufficient for thee." In other words, don't give up. Don't quit. Hang in there. You ever felt that way? I think I've shared with some of our men. I remember some time ago, defeated, discouraged, on the mission field. And God has a wonderful sense of humor and a wonderful sense of time. My dad is not real tech savvy, but he managed to email me and get someone to help him attach a file. And it came right at the time where I was really discouraged. And it was a picture of a stork who had a frog halfway down his throat with his hand sticking out around the stork's neck, holding on that little frog. And on the bottom it said, "Never give up. Never give up." Boy, sometimes we feel strangled. Sometimes we feel cut off. Sometimes we feel discouraged. Beyond that we can imagine, feel hurt and broken. But remember this, God wants to encourage you. God wants to help you. He wants to help you up. He wants you to stay on your feet and keep moving and serving the Lord. Three thoughts for those who are discouraged. Number one, he is standing with us. Again, in verse 10, the very first phrase there, "For I am with thee." In Hebrews 13:5, Jesus said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." He says, "I am there." And the Gospel of Matthew has two wonderful bookends. It begins with Emmanuel, God with us, and it ends with a great commission. "Lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth." You see, no matter how you are feeling or what you are facing, remember this, God is good all the time. No matter what's going on, no matter what we're facing, no matter how discouraged we are, God is in complete control. I meant to write down a passage of Scripture. I forgot. It's in the book of Job. The Bible speaks of the world reaching out and hanging the world on nothing. Folks, if he is in that much control, he knows exactly what's going on in our life. We don't have to be worried. Just press on and trust him. See, the Bible talks about a childlike faith in salvation. You know, the reality is we need the childlike faith sometimes in just surviving. I mean, those of you, how many of you men have daughters? Several of you. Have you ever had to whisper to your daughter, it's okay, dad's here. I know I have. I've checked under beds for monsters. I've checked in closets for sharks when we lived in Florida. I mean, I've done everything I needed to do with my kids, and all I had to do was say, "It's under control, sweetheart. Lay down and rest." And usually when I walk out the door, it's usually like, "Daddy, can you at least leave the door cracked so you can hear me if I need you?" And all I had to do is say yes, and they could lay down and go to sleep. We need the same childlike faith in knowing that our Heavenly Father has everything in control. No matter how discouraged we are, we need to remember he is with us wherever we go. Number two. I got a little more here in my notes. John chapter 11 and verse 35, before we go to number two, the Bible says that Jesus wept. Folks, because we serve a God that knows everything, Jesus wept. Why? Because he knew Lazarus had died. He knew that he had died. Jesus knew that Lazarus was dead. He knew that he could raise him from the dead, but Jesus still wept. He knows how we feel. He knows of our infirmities, our hurts, and our aches. He is standing with us, dear friends. He knows, and he is standing with us. Psalm 23. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." Dear friends, like Lazarus, when our time comes, the Lord is with us. He gives us dying grace. He gives us grace when we're not feeling well and wishing we were dead when facing some illness. He doesn't send an angel. He comes for us himself. Boy, isn't it wonderful to know that we serve a God who's in complete control. He is with us. Number two, He is shielding us. He is shielding us. Again, back in our text in verse 10, the second little portion. No man shall sit on thee to hurt thee. We need to understand something. It's not that he wouldn't be hurt, but that he wouldn't be harmed. He wouldn't be killed. He wouldn't be crippled. Folks, we're going to get our feelings hurt. We're going to get our emotions a little bent out of shape or a little in an uproar at times. But God is simply telling us he is shielding us. They killed the Apostle Paul, but not until he was able to say, I have finished my course. They killed Jesus, but not before he said, it is finished. God has a purpose and a plan for our life. Why not choose to live fearlessly? Now, I'm not saying to go out here and play in the intersection here of Van Buren and Serval. What I'm saying is, just serve the Lord. Don't worry about what people think. Don't worry about what they say. Just serve the Lord. Or why not? The rest of the world, their voice and their opinion. And I may get myself in trouble, but that's just fine and dandy. The woke cancel culture has no problem living out loud themselves. Why can't we as Christians? I'm not saying being belligerent. I'm not saying being ugly. Just be who we are. Children of God with a voice and share our faith. Boy, I was so pleased this morning as one of our men shared with me about a young man who recently won a wrestling tournament and had a live microphone for all the world to hear and gave a wonderful testimony of his salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful thing. Recently, a hockey player did the same thing in reference to a pregame thing that took place. Folks, like the Lord says, I have much people in this city. Hey, they're out there. And hey, by the way, they don't all go to Harvest Baptist Church. There's other Christians. There are other believers. There's other good churches in our area. We may not be for everyone. I'm a little biased. I think they are all over the crowd in here on Sunday morning. But I know it ain't going to happen. I'm not for everyone. We are not for everyone. But we're in the same family of those of like faith. And God has much people in this city. I need to move on, but one other little thought. We was at Panera Bread with the Men's Coffee Fellowship, having a good time. And I said something to a police officer. I said, thank you for your service. I do that to every first responder and military that I see. I'm a veteran myself, and I appreciate these men. I'm honored that we have some police officers and military families in our church. But I made comment, I thanked him. A few minutes later, I went to get my refill of coffee, and I came back, and he's over talking to the guys, trying to get an idea of what was going on. And he came over and spoke to us, led to another conversation, and it led to this. He's a believer, too. He was so glad that we were here and having fellowship. In fact, he even agreed once in a while when he was in this area to cruise through the parking lot just to make sure there's no mischief going on. He said, I'll let my captain, some other folks, know. Folks, they're out there. We haven't met them all, but God has more people in this city. We are not alone in the fight. We are not alone in serving the Lord. We need to remember he's not only standing with us, but he is with us. He is shielding us and meeting and protecting us. God has a purpose, so let's live fearlessly. There will be persecution. There will be trials. There will be hardship. But remember, God is not finished with you until your work here on earth is done. I want you to understand that there is no Christian, there is no member of Harvest Baptist Church that cannot have a ministry if they desire one. There is a place for all of us. You may not be able to do as much as you used to. You may not be able to go as much as you would like, but I tell you what, there's one tapped resource, and I'll probably get to it again later or tonight, that we often fall short of. Prayer. Intercessory prayer. Everybody can do that. Everybody can be involved in praying for one another, praying for their pastor, praying for the church, praying for their church family. He is standing with us, and he is shielding us. Live with the attitude to live as Christ, to die as gain. Think about that. God, take me when you're through with me, but until then, I am going to serve you. Dear friend, it's so good to know that nothing can happen without the Lord's permission. Why? Because he is shielding us. Friends, don't give up. I mentioned that I love, enjoy reading autobiographies of great men of the past, especially preachers and pastors and missionaries. And I think it was John R. Rice, but I'm not sure. But I can remember reading a story about him in the city of Chicago walking somewhere, and a guy pulled up and put a gun in his face and said, give me your money or your life. And now you would have to know Brother Bob Jones. He usually talked like this and looked over his glasses when he was lecturing. No, I'm not that old. I've just read about him. And he looked at that gentleman and said, "Sir, you can have what you want, but don't threaten me with heaven." Hey, think about it. I don't know about you. There's some days I'm ready to say, "Lord, I'm ready." And there's other days I'm like, "Lord, give me one more day. Lord, give me another week." There's still souls that need to be saved. There's still people here who need the gospel. There's still Christians that need to get right with God and right with one another. There's still things that need to be done. But there's many days I'm saying, "Ready, Lord, I'm ready to go." And sometimes those are the days that I need to be encouraged. I need to be reminded that he is standing with us and he is shielding us. And number three, he has surrounded us. I know I've alluded to this a little bit in previous points, but let's bring it home a little bit closer. The latter part of verse number 10. "I have much people in this city." How could God say that? Think about it. Think of the context, historical Corinthians, the church there, what takes place in Corinth. There was no more than a handful of Christians there at this time. Friends, God did not see the wickedness, the immorality, the perverts of this city for what they were, but for what they were going to be. Because see, our God can see the past, the present, and the future all at the same time. While we see a wicked city, while we see corruption, while we see all this thing taking place, God could also look out into the future and see eternity and know that some of those are going to become some of mine in his timing. Notice with me a couple things. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. I'll give you a moment if you want to turn there. But years later, even in all this corruption, sometimes later, here's what happened. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. Again, God did not see them just for who they were in their sinful condition, but for what they were going to be. 1 Corinthians 6, 9. But ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Here's verse 11. "And such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God." You see, here, God looked out and he knew what would take place. And dear friends, we must remember when we look out and see this sin-cursed world that God can change those lives. He can make a difference. And there's only by the grace of God, dear friends, that none of us are still living in sin. Some of us had an opportunity to trust Christ at a young age to be saved from a life of sin. And there are some of you out there that maybe got saved a little later and got saved out of a life of sin. Either one, it's a great miracle. And there's still others that need to be saved out of that life. They're out there, those who believe like we do, those who are a follower of Christ, and there are those that are out there that at any time could put their faith and trust in Christ. We can't see them. Only God knows who they are. So don't worry about trying to sort them out. Just tell everybody about Jesus. Amen? Just tell them all. Let them know that God loves them, that God cares. He is with us. He is shielding us. He has surrounded us. Elijah, another example here, going back to him, assured his servant who was distraught because of the threat of the Syrian army. He was overly concerned. In the 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 16, here's what he tells this young man. And he answered, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than them that be against us." Hey, they're out there. There's a whole lot of them. Don't let your eyes trick you. You're seeing only the enemy, but God knows who's for us. God knows who's with us. Let's just press on and do what God would have us to do. Dear friends, try to see the way God does. Try to see this world the way God does. And in the future, the possibilities that could take place, God says to CNN, MSNBC, ABC, CBS, and all those other liberal networks, "I have much people in this city. I have much people in this city." Dear friends, if you're in need of encouragement, remember, he is standing with us. He is shielding us. He has surrounded us. Think about that for a moment. Michelle, make your way to the piano. Think about that just for a moment. No matter what takes place in our life, if he can reach out and hang the world on nothing, he can surely reach out and help us in our time of need. He wants to encourage us. You ever met anyone that you tried to encourage and help and they just didn't want the help? You ever think that we find ourselves that way when God's trying to encourage us? Think about it for a moment. It's very clear from Scripture that God wants to encourage all of his children. Are we allowing him to encourage us? Sometimes God does it through the word. Sometimes God does it through prayer. Sometimes God sends somebody our way to encourage us. You ever think for a moment that you could possibly be entertaining angels when God is trying to encourage you? You ever think that God sends, have you ever wondered why the letter, the knock on the door, the telephone call, the text message, the email, you ever think, wow, that is so timely? Because God knew when you needed it. He knew. Letters can be delayed. Letters can be picked up. I'll close with one illustration on the mission field. I can remember being so strung out, so exhausted, so to the tip at the end of just, I was ready to quit, I was ready to give up. Now, I want to switch gears and make this about Michelle instead of me, because it's a better example. She was discouraged, and it's shorter, and she was ready to go home. And she was referring to not home where we lived on the mission field, but back to the States, because it eventually did become home. But she was just discouraged. She had a friend across town named Susan. And they made an agreement that when one was discouraged, no matter how the other one felt, they were going to step up and encourage the other one. She was another missionary wife. We got together for fellowship 2 or 3 times a month, mostly centered around food. Our wives liked to cook, and me and Brother Paul liked to eat. And Michelle was just stressed to the end. I tried to encourage her. I tried to love on her. And then I know when, as a wise husband, when to just to step back and give her a few moments. And then she picks up the phone. Yeah, back in those days on the mission field, it was like this. She picked up the phone on the other end, and she's crying at this time. Susan, I'm so discouraged. And Susan on the other end says, I am too. You want to meet me at the airport? And they both did what you just did. They both started laughing. And then they encouraged with one another, they prayed for one another, and we met later in the day or the next day for fellowship. God sends the perfect timing. Michelle didn't know how Susan felt on the other end. Susan didn't know how Michelle felt on the other end. But when they got together on the right timing on the phone call, God just worked it out that they encouraged one another. Dear friends, we've got a God that's in complete control. He is with us, he is shielding us, and he is surrounding us. We've just got to decide to let him in. And let him take control. Let's stand together with heads bowed and eyes closed. Nobody looking around, or a piano player will begin playing. If God has spoken to your heart in any capacity, if you'd like to come this morning and pray and thank God for the message, or just come and pray and say, Lord, I need encouragement. Lord, thank you for helping me to encourage others. Lord, help me to be sensitive when you want me to encourage others. Lord, help me to be sensitive, recognizing when you're sending someone to encourage me, that I might embrace what you're doing in my life. Some have come to pray. Others may need to come. You just obey the Spirit of God and do what the Lord would have you to do. Father, bless this time of invitation. You know the needs are represented in our church family. Those who are even visiting with us this morning, may you just gently nudge them and encourage them if they need it today. Help our church family to be a blessing and encouragement throughout the rest of our service and fellowship time. But Father, help us all right now to be yielded to what the Spirit of God would have us to do. We ask in Jesus' name. Heads are still bowed and folks have come to pray. Others may need to, whether it's here at the altar or where you stand. You do business with the Lord this morning. He cares. All right, if you'd be seated just for a moment, I'll take another moment of your time, but we'll be dismissed in just a moment. And always remember always that God loves you, His preacher loves you. If I can be a help to you in any way, please do not hesitate to ask. I just want to share a few things with you, and then we'll be dismissed. Brother Robert, you want to go ahead and cut the recording?